This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor. This earth, build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation.
Do So here I bow to lift you high. Jesus, be glorified in all things. And for all my life, I am yours, forever yours.
Yes, Lord. We are here for you. We bow down before you, Lord. We lift up your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together to worship you, to praise your name, to worship your name, because you are the only one worthy to be praised, Lord. Lord, I thank you for everyone who is present here or everyone who is watching us online, Lord. I pray for those hearts, Lord, who are ready to receive the message from you, Lord. Lord, I pray for those hearts who are seeking you, who are ready to hear from you today, Lord. Lord, I pray that let your message be flown to those hearts, Lord. Let the message touch those hearts, Lord. Because Lord, it is for you that I am doing. It's not about a stage show, or it's not about a clubhouse where we are gathering, or a social club. It's about you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the message. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I welcome you, everyone, who are also visiting us for the first time. My name is Banish, and some time back, God gave me the privilege, and I'm honored to bring the Word of God to you. Also, I want to thank Pastor Dakyan for giving me this opportunity to bring the Word before you. So when I was 4 weeks back when I received an email with the schedule that when I am scheduled to bring the word, I was praying to God that what message should I bring? Because it's not like that whatever I feel comfortable and I'll bring, that's not something from God. So I was praying, and it took me almost 2-3 days to bring this message that God told me to bring to you guys. And when I was busy with preparing this sermon, I also had a burden in my heart where I felt like there are a lot of believers who are working according to the will of God, who are followers of Jesus, is also struggling with this, what is forgiveness. And it's really a tough thing. Even I struggle sometimes with forgiveness. I'm not someone who will say like, no, I do not. No, it's everyone. I'm sure that everyone struggles with forgiveness. And forgiveness is something, if we look in a definition, I just saw a definition which was given by a psychiatrist. It says forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision. It's a decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. So regardless of do they deserve it or no, we deliberately make the decision of forgiving them. And forgiveness is something which is a very, very vast topic, I would say, a vast message. I cannot complete it within 1 hour. It will take, because the Bible, if you look at the Bible, there are a lot of things about forgiveness. I have just brought those things which the Holy Spirit has pressed in my heart to bring. Total forgiveness is something, today we will see, how we can totally forgive someone. It's not only that it's our duty that we forgive, but from the heart, the forgiveness starts from the heart. Total forgiveness is only achievable when it's only achievable with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. That's why C.S. Lewis says that forgiveness is very easy for someone who doesn't have anything to forgive. No? So, yeah, and I'm sure that each and every one, we live in this broken world. We have been through those situations where we are hurt. Maybe it's for someone, it may be every day. It's for someone, it can be, very often that you are hurt by someone whom you have trusted, whom you trust, who is really close to you, who is close to your heart. It may be your wife, it may be your parents, it may be your best friend, it can be anyone, it can be anyone in this world whom you know very closely, whom you have trusted, and they broke your trust, they have hurt you. And we keep on struggling with forgiveness. Sometimes it happens that we say, because it's our duty, we are the follower of Jesus, it's our duty to forgive, and we forgive, but we do not forgive from the heart. We do not realize that. We say like, okay, God, I forgive that person. And then when after 2-3 days, it comes in our heart, and then we start like, oh, what she has done or what he has done to me, I cannot forget. And that comes as a tormenting in your mind. It brings the hatredness, the bitterness for that person. If we go to the second slide, it says, release them and you will be set free. Today when we were having intercession before the service, Renee said that we release that something that is in our heart, the burden. That burden has to be released from our heart, and then we will be free. And we can only release the burden unto the feet of Jesus today. Because forgiveness is something you can carry on. It can carry on for your whole life with some excuses. You say, like, every time you say, I forgave him, I forgave him, I forgave her. But every time when you think about those situations, things that the person has done in your life, these things, maybe I have pointed out few of the things, but you don't know what he did to me. They lied about me repeatedly. She intended to destroy my career, and she did. If you knew what this has done to my family, you would be angry too. They deserve to suffer like they have made me suffer. These are the few of the things that I have written it down. And I feel like whenever we think about forgiving someone and we have not forgave that person from our heart, we have just done it out of duty, these things come in our mind and it fills us with the hatred and bitterness. And as you know that hatred and bitterness are sin. And it starts like an cancer, the cells of cancer, how it is. It starts and it spreads in our life. It spreads in our life. That's why you will find many people, they are not rude. They are really good person, good people. But whenever you ask them, they will try to reply or they will answer you in a very rudely way, in a rude way. And that's why it reminds me, I was reading a book, I do not remember the name of the author. It says, love your enemies, love the person but step on your enemies. So it's not the person who has hurt you. It's not that, because he doesn't know that he has hurt you. Of course, he might have known, but he is in the dark, he doesn't know that. But Love him, but step on the enemy, step on the sin. We will see today from the scripture what scripture says us about the forgiveness. And forgiveness is something for a believer, it's a standard, it's a virtue by which a believer should live, because we say that we are the follower of Jesus Christ. That's what we are living for. We are living for the day when we will be unified with him. We are the church. We are the universal church. We are waiting for the groom. A forgiving spirit demonstrates that a person has received God's forgiveness. And we will see that if we go Luke chapter 6, verse 37, it says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." It says, "Forgive, and you will be forgiven." It's very strange. If we do not forgive, we won't be forgiven. It's a matter of how many times you come and repent to God that for your sin. But until and unless you forgive that person who has hurt you, God will not forgive you. The second part, which is Luke chapter 6, verse 38, I haven't mentioned it in the slide, which is the last part of the 38. It says, "For with the same measure that you use it will be measured back to you." So the scale that you are using to measure that person, with that same scale, you will be measured by God. So it's a warning. We have to be very careful when we think about forgiving someone, when we judge someone, when we condemn someone, we have to be very careful. Let's see what Matthew says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. It was this passage is when Jesus was on the mount, and they call it Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching, and Jesus says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." It's a warning. It's a straight warning to us. If we do not forgive, our sins will not be forgiven. It might happen that throughout our life, we walked, we did everything what God told us, we were trying to do everything, but we do not have peace, that peace in our heart. Whenever we come to that person who had done something wrong to us, we start that bitterness, that angerness comes into our heart, and then we say like, this person, I really don't like this person. I don't want to face this person. I don't want to go in front of him. Those are the things that generally comes into our heart when we think that we have forgiven, but we have not forgiven from the heart. Even we see in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So even Jesus, when he was teaching the prayer, he said that forgive as we forgive our debtors. So we can only forgive a person to an extent where we appreciate that we have been forgiven. So it's like 1 to 10, 10 is the total forgiveness, and we appreciate that God has forgiven us up to 10. That means you have to forgive that person till 10. If you are forgiving him till 6, then of course your sins are forgiven till 6. So you are not forgiven. Let's see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, what Paul says. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." God forgives us not because that we forgave someone. He does that out of his mercy. He does that out of his grace, which we do not deserve. We are undeserved. We are into sin. The whole world is into sin. No one is holy. But God loves us. Out of love, out of mercy and grace, He has forgiven us. And it's our duty. It's our responsibility. It's our decision to forgive that, to let it go. And Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, which is not there in the slide, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. These are the things that you will have in your life." So a few weeks or maybe months back, I was preaching about the suffering. I was preaching about when you walk through the mid of desert in your life, when you have a dry season in your life. So it's like many people think that, okay, today, now I have given my heart to God. Like, for example, last week, Darkian preached about the gospel. And gospel is the one from where people start. And after that, you give your heart, you are baptized, and you start the process of sanctification. And this forgiveness, this all things comes after that. After that, these are the part of sanctification. And you will have long-suffering, you will have a lot of troubles in your life. People might sometimes think like, no, he is a believer, so he cannot have any problem because he is a believer. But that's not the case. I think if you are a true believer, of course you will have peace in the mid of the storm, because our God doesn't say that He will remove the storm. He says us that He will take us through the storm. And here Paul in Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, he says that he gives us a strategy how we can follow Jesus, how we can live a life of compassion. He says that we should live the life imitating Jesus, following Him. And if we are to follow Him, we need to forgive those people. We need to have compassion in our life. We need to have the softness in our heart. We see next scripture, which is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." That's really true. Sometimes when I do something, when I hurt my wife, she forgives me. Of course, she can be angry for a moment with me, but she forgives me. After that, she doesn't remember those things. It's same way with me when I am being hurt. I forgive that. And that is what Peter is telling. Love covers over a multitude of sin. Even if we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it's called the love chapter, where Paul has spoken all about love. At the last part of 5, it says, "Love keeps no records of wrong." You forget it. You forgave them, you forget it. Now we will see the most profound and the most highest example that we have in the Bible for forgiveness. The finest, the purest, and the highest example of forgiveness, those 11 words, which we can find in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. The incident which has changed the whole world, which has changed the dimension of the whole world, which has changed the whole realm of the spiritual world. It was the crucifixion, the day of crucifixion. And when Jesus was crucified on that day, I know everyone you knows that He was crucified on the day in the morning. I do not know exactly at what time. Someone says at 9 o'clock in the morning. Someone says 5 minutes past 9. I don't know. But that was a mountain where he was first tortured, and along with two other thieves, he was crucified. And you know that how terrible, how painful the crucifixion was, because the Romans, they used to use this as an example to show people that you cannot walk, you cannot do these things against the government. And Jesus was crucified. People were laughing. People were making jokes about him. People were saying, and when he was crucified, people were shouting at him. They were saying, insulting him and saying, "If you are the king, Jesus, if you are the king, come down off the cross." And that happens. Even today, I have seen in many places when people go out for preaching or evangelism, they come and then they beat those evangelists and says like, "Your God could not save himself. How can he save us?" That's the darkness, that's the sin, that shows that how much bitterness, how much hatred, how much darkness is there in our life. When everyone was making fun of him, everyone was laughing, they gathered to see the moment of crucifixion. They were really excited. The Pharisees were happy. Pilate was happy. Jesus spoke these 11 words which changed the whole world. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." When I was preparing this sermon and when this thing came into my heart, and it's not that I don't struggle, even I struggle, but when I have this peace in my heart after forgiving that person, I cannot explain you. And that's why I brought this word to you, so that I can share this with you, if you have something in your heart. Lay it down unto God. Forgive that person, whether he can be your partner, he or she can be your partner or parents or anyone. Because what we generally say, it's a human tendency. "Yes, that person has hurt me. I will forgive him. But at least he should be humble. He should have shown some sign of repentance, that he has done something wrong." You know, that's the excuse. And then what happens? We continue living for the day. We are waiting for the day when that person will come and he or she will say like, "I did a mistake. Sorry, I have hurt you. I didn't knew that," or maybe something. And we wait for whole life giving this excuse that person will realize that they have, or he or she has made that mistake. That's the excuse. Do you think that Jesus had this excuse? Everyone was insulting him. Everyone was against him. And still he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." This is the standard that Jesus has set for us to pursue. Second thing we will see today, some misconceptions about forgiveness. My next slide says, at this point it is necessary to clear up some of the misconceptions about forgiveness. People think a lot of things about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean approving what someone else did. If someone has done wrong, it doesn't mean that you approved, you forgive them and you approved it. No. It does not mean pretending that evil never took place. It does not mean. It does not mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. You cannot make excuse by forgiving that person. It does not mean justifying evil so that sin somehow become less sinful. You cannot justify that sin. Yeah. It does not mean overlooking abuse. It does not mean denying that others try to hurt you repeatedly. And it does not mean refusing to press charges when a crime has been committed. It does not mean pretending that you were never hurt. It does not mean that you must become best friend. It does not mean that your relationship will be restored as before. It does not mean that you must tell that person that you have forgiven him. You do not need a permission from that person to forgive them. You do not need to let him know that you have forgiven him. It starts from the heart. It's between you and God. You have forgiven him. You have forgiven that person. God knows that. And believe me, when you have this thing in your heart, you have forgiven that person from your heart, those hatred, that bitterness will not be there in your life. Whenever you will think about those things, you will be reminded every time about the love of God, not the hatredness and bitterness for that person. We will see the parable of an unmerciful servant, which is taken from the Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?' 'Up to seven times?'" So Peter was a bit clever. So the rabbis taught them that you should only forgive people three times, not more than that. So he increased it to double, to raise his standard, like, okay, is this the expectation of Jesus? Shall I forgive my brother or sister who sin against me up to seven times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times, 77 times. It clearly tells that you should not remember how many times that person has hurt you or how many times the person has done wrong to you. Because if you want to count, I'm afraid that my sins will not be count. Those are countless. We cannot count our own sins. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." This was the things that used to happen in those old days when you had debt, and if you cannot repay it, you will be sold. You will be working whole your life, maybe in that person's house or for that person from whom you have taken the debt. Or maybe they will put you into jail until and unless you pay the whole debt, or you sell your land, or one of your family member come and saves you by paying all the debts. That used to happen in the old days. "At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." I'm reading it again. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." That's why I told you that forgiveness starts from heart. You cannot say that I forgive and after that you start gossiping about that person. "He did this to me. He's not a good guy," and all kind of stuff. After 10 days you go to someone else and you say I really don't like that person. I have forgiven him, but still those things are there in my heart. It reminds me, so that's not a true forgiveness. When we don't forgive others, we are setting ourselves above God's love. We are saying that Jesus, our sins are at lower standard than the person who has hurt me. So we are saying directly to God that our sins are very few compared to that person who has hurt me, So it's really important to forgive that person. And as a believer, when we know God, as a follower of Jesus, forgiveness is something not an option for us. It's not an optional. It's a part of our life. We have to forgive. And of course, you don't need permission from that person. If you are waiting for that person to come back to you and say some good words to you and then you forgive, that's very rarely that happens. And then when we forgive, there comes the next stage in the process of forgiveness, and it's the stage of facing that person. So when we forgive, we forgot everything, okay, everything is done. And then suddenly when we meet that person, things come up in our mind. We have already forgiven that person from the heart, but still when we say, for example, you are working with that person, it's really difficult. You are praying for that person, but it's really difficult that when that person keeps on hurting you or saying something you which you don't like. And there comes the role or the miracle of the Holy Spirit. That is something which we cannot do ourselves. That is something which we cannot do of our own strength. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit to talk to that person, to have love and compassion for that person, to turn that bitterness and hatredness which was there in my heart, now it's empty for that person, to turn that emptiness into love for that person. That only the Holy Spirit can do. And that's why it says that forgiveness is a miracle. It's a miracle, and it's a miracle that we need every day. Forgiveness is something we can compare it with salvation. That person whom we want to forgive, he doesn't deserve our forgiveness. If you do not forgive, that person is not going to come back and ask you for forgiveness. But as we do not deserve the same forgiveness from God, But God is so graceful and so merciful to forgive us our sin. In the same way, forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift which we have to share with people. The final thoughts that we have today is forgiveness for a believer's life is not an optional thing. It's a part of our life. Think about the grace that you did not deserve. Think about remember it. Remind yourself about the grace, the love that God has for you whenever you are struggling with forgiving that person. And today, with the final word that before I finish off, today let's pray for the soft heart, for the courage to forgive that person in your life if someone has hurt you. Because the scripture says that timid will never forgive, only the brave, because we are created in the image of God. We are brave. Only brave can forgive and let go. So let's take a moment today. Let's take a moment and think about those people who has left all those remarks, all those footprints in your life whom you want to get rid of. Whenever you are reminded of those footprints, hatred and bitterness, maybe you are emotional, maybe you are sad, maybe you are alone, you feel alone. Why those people left me or my parents left me? Think about those things and pray about that so that God gives you the courage to turn those hatred, those loneliness into love. And when I was busy with this sermon, the Holy Spirit was pressing in my heart that there are a lot of people who have this, who are struggling, really struggling with this forgiveness. Out of the duty, we are forgiving people, but we are not forgiving from our heart. And if you are here today, maybe here or maybe watching us online, I want to invite you. We can pray together. We can lay down everything that you have in your life, in your heart, that has been tormenting you, that has been burning you, that has been hurting you. We can pray together. And the last thing that, when I was preparing for the sermon, that came into my heart, it was this song. For those poor people, those who want to say like, but wait a moment, how can I forgive that person because I haven't repented to God? I haven't repented for my own sin. How can I forgive that person? Because you cannot forgive those persons until and unless you are forgiven by God. And this was the song which says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So I request you, I invite you today, if you are out there who wants or who is struggling with forgiveness, who is struggling to forgive someone in your life, we have ministry people over there waiting for you. You can come. Don't just sit and go home empty-handed. Let us pray because we are here to help each other because we are the part of the body of Christ. We have to work together. Before I end this sermon, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we can come together and hear your voice, hear the message that you have prepared for us, Lord. Yes, Lord, forgiveness is something which we should be reminded every now and then, every day, because you have forgiven us. You have sacrificed your only Son for us. For us, like people, for human beings, those who are undeserved. We do not deserve that, Lord. We do not deserve your grace. We do not deserve your mercy. But it's your love that wants us to reconcile that relationship, that wants to come back to you. And through Jesus Christ, through his blood, we can come back to you, Lord. We can run unto you. We can call unto your name. We can call you Abba, Father. We can have that peace in our heart. Lord, I pray that today give us that softness in our heart, that courage in our heart, so that we can forgive that person. We can release those unto your feet, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We will have another 3 songs. And in the meantime, please do not sit back. If you feel like you have something that we can pray for, please come forward.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my goodness, surely mercy. Bless the Lord, my soul, remember all the good things that He has done. Forgiven sin, forgotten sickness, an orphan called instead a son. The gift of life, born on Christ's shoulders, death's sting engulfed by victory. Bought with His blood, saved through His suffering, this is the song of the our eyes on Him. No higher name, none greater than the Lamb. Oh, consider Him high priest, our Savior, the perfect Lamb. We'll
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.